So, Holy Ghost setup. Who thought they came here today for dance camp? Anybody? That's so awesome. That's so awesome. They're on their leotards, like.
I got my tattoos.
Hi. I was gonna say that. Yeah. Okay, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you this morning for your presence. We thanks for joining us in worship, and we ask, Lord, that you would just do what you want to do. We give you permission this morning to do what you want to do. We're not at dance camp, but we're here for the ride, and we're excited about what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. So, what a great, that song. I haven't heard that song in a minute. We used to do it, seemed like every week, but no place I'd rather be. Where else would we want to be as children of God than in his presence, in his love? Thanks, Makia. That was awesome. So, bear with me this morning. So, and by the way, Rory, Lynn, and Grandma, Mom, Terry gave great words on evangelism. If you weren't here, I'm sure Carl's going to have them up on the website to listen to, but good stuff. Is there anyone else besides me that thinks or thought, if you looked up evangelism in the dictionary, you'd see a picture of Terry? Okay, so that being said, you're laughing, so you must agree at some level. How many of you thought, oh, I don't look like Terry, so I don't have to evangelize? It's not my calling. How funny is that we're going to tell God what our calling is? I got a kick out of that this week. So there's a lot of things today that I'm going to share that God's been showing me. They're for me. And if you guys can get something out of them, cool. If not, I still love you. So is evangelism important to God? What do you guys think? Yeah. He says it's his desire that none should perish. So, if evangelism isn't just Terry, and not just Lynn Taylor, and not just what Rory said, what is evangelism? Do you guys have your own definitions of evangelism?
The good news.
Good news. Comes in one package only, right?
Yeah.
No. That was a sick setup. I'm sorry. So evangelism is showing people that they have value when they don't think they do. It's calling out the golden people and not pointing out their faults. Who's ever tried to evangelize to someone telling them where they were missing the mark? Just me? Okay. So God gave me this analogy of a flashlight this week. I use one at work, so he just kind of showed me. So if you walk up to somebody in the dark, like let's say Rory's sitting in the dark and I walk up with my flashlight and go, "Hi, Rory." It's a little startling and upsetting, and he might even take a swing at me. Because number one, most people that are in the dark already know they're in the dark. They already know their faults. They're not waiting around, "God, I hope somebody will please come today and point out my faults. That would really be cool." Sometimes evangelism is just simply loving someone that needs to be loved. I was reminded this week of, there are times where I'll see somebody I know is hurting, I know needs love, And guess what? If it fits into my schedule, if I can make it work, I might even try and show some love. The goal of evangelism should be when we leave a person, they know the love of God and that He loves them tremendously and that we actually care. Evangelism is everywhere we go, we manifest Jesus. It's not about you or me. Evangelism is all about Jesus. Jesus was and is the ultimate evangelist. And what did He do? He denied Himself, surrendered all to the Father. How many of you ever read in the Bible where Jesus went around saying, "Look what I did"? In the red letters, "Look what I did," says the Lord. No. He only did what He saw the Father do, John 5:19. Evangelism is about doing the work of God. If we pray and ask Holy Spirit to give us someone to share Him with, we can trust that it's His doing as opposed to us going out on our own, trying in our own strength to convince someone of God's goodness. Who's ever tried to convince somebody how good God is on their own without Holy Spirit? How'd that work out? Good. I thought it was just me. So, this is what God showed me this week. We have to train to be better evangelists. Whatever that looks like to you, we have to train to be better evangelists. And we don't train alone. How many have ever said to yourself or to someone, "I'm going to be a better evangelist starting tomorrow," or "I'm going to start a diet tomorrow," or "I'm going to join the gym tomorrow," or "I'm going to"? It may work for a minute. It may work for 2 minutes. May not work at all. But we train by spending more time with the Holy Spirit and asking Him what He wants to do. The more time we spend with Holy Spirit, the better we get to know Him, the better we can hear His voice, and the better we know what He wants to do. I was thinking about times that I've prayed for people, tried to share the Lord with people, and God showed me this week, if He ever leads me to someone, if He ever says, "Go pray for Rory, I want to do something," it's never not worked. God never fails. We sang the song. So, evangelism isn't for us to feel good. How many of you have ever felt really good after sharing the Lord with somebody and thought, "Oh, God is so good. I love Jesus. That was awesome." That's a bonus sometimes, but evangelism really is for what God wants to do to the person He leads you to. If you feel good, great. But if you don't feel good, that doesn't mean it was a failure. So, you guys know Randy Clark. We've talked about Randy Clark up here. You know Sean Boltz, Todd White. All of their testimonies, if you listen to them talk about when they started, where they're at now, what's been going on, all three of those guys tried for years to do what they believed God had called them to do. Whether it be words of knowledge, praying for healing, leading people to Jesus, whatever the case might be. And they tried for years with no results. But they didn't give up. And all three of them have said that they trained. They kept seeking Holy Spirit, asking Him what He was going to do, asking for His leading. And all three of them now are being led by God and seeing great results. So you guys know Todd White, Randy Clark, and Sean Boltz, right? Would you consider them evangelists? Roy Wood? Anybody else? Do they look like Terry? Do they do what Terry does? But it's the same goal, same objective. That was good for me because I thought, oh my gosh, I'm not grandma, I'm not Terry, I can't evangelize. And God told me this week, if you can have a relationship with me, if you can talk to me, if you can hear my voice, you can evangelize. So we need to train ourselves. So what does training for evangelism look like? I Googled it. Weird. Weird stuff going on out there. And maybe not. It's probably all good. It just looked weird to me for a minute. There's a lot of classes. There's a lot of, we will train you for a price. We will, and I don't know. I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure some of them, if not all of them, are very good. But Jesus already paid the price. I don't think he wants to charge us to learn how to share him. So, training ourselves means spending time with God, asking him what he wants to do, and then stepping out in faith and just simply doing it. Scary, huh? What's the worst that could happen training to be a better evangelist? Give me a worst case scenario, anybody? Sam. There really isn't. But so the worst case scenario I could come up with was, worst case, I'm going to spend more time with God and learn to hear better from the Holy Spirit. Even if I never see anybody get saved, never see any miracles, never get a word of knowledge, never prophesy over anyone, I don't think that could happen, but that would be worst case scenario. So, yeah. Just lost my train of thought. If you guys saw my notes today, you would be laughing so hard. Thanks, buddy. If we pray for someone, let's say we're at the mall. Let's say we're at Costco, Grandma's Stomping Grounds. Let's say we're somewhere and we see somebody with a limp or a cast or a bandage around their head or crying or whatever. And God puts it on our heart to go pray for them. What happens if we go pray for them and nothing happens? So we failed, right? No. Those are all good answers. Thanks, guys. So God told me this week, and maybe this is just for me, but it might be for somebody else. If we pray for someone and they don't get healed, God is not disappointed in us. God doesn't feel like we let him down. Because guess what? We're not the ones doing the healing. So, training. I also looked up training for different things. And there's classes on training. You could train to be a cat juggler. You could train to be so many different things. It's weird. Sorry, it's a Steve Martin joke, but yeah. I haven't been the best trainer. God, we were talking the other night, and since I was a kid, after being a kid, most of the things in my adult life that I have done or attempted to do or tried to do have pretty much come naturally for me. I'm not saying that to boast of myself. It just means I've never had to work real hard at a lot of things. And that's both a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because it's cool, I can do that. But it's a curse because you can get lazy. And I don't know if anybody else is that way. I'm sure you guys are all diligent trainers and work really hard at all your stuff. Sam, I'm sure you didn't just wake up one morning and become this awesome woodworker on boats. It was like, right? You've had to work hard and train. training, if we want to be good at something, if we desire something, we work hard for it. The beautiful thing about training to be an evangelist is the hard work is just simply spending time with the Holy Spirit. There's no sweating, no crying. Well, there might be some crying if you're like Rory. But really, spending time with the Holy Spirit is amazing. My notes for this, it's funny. I was getting ready to do this last night at 11 o'clock, and my way of taking notes anymore is basically using voice memo on my phone because I'm driving all the time, and I used to try to steer with my knee and write and hold a pad, and it was just not real safe. So I use voice memo on my phone, which isn't 100% safe, but it's safer. So I've got, last night, I've got about 100, literally, about 100 voice memos ranging from 9 seconds to 35 seconds. And so I'm trying to transcribe them and make sense and order. And I'm not sure how well it went, but yeah. But that's me. That's what me spending time with the Holy Spirit looks like today. I don't know what it looks like for you. You know, what an awesome story Renna told about the people on their faces in the chair. That's awesome. And I'm not trying to make excuses, but that's not where I don't have that. I know, Lord. Yeah, I could make time for that. I haven't been. But it's different. Spending time with the Holy Spirit, there's no formula you have to follow. There's no right or wrong way to hang out with God. It's not like you're going to ask God, hey, you want to go to the beach today? He's like, nah, I'm not really into the beach. Yeah, I'd love to go with you. Wherever you're going, I want to be there. You know, whatever it might be, painting your house, working, whatever it is. God wants to be with you all the time. Here's the newsflash. God is with you all the time, whether you acknowledge him or not. So, God made us all unique. We're not robots. We do all things differently. Terry is amazing at what she does. If you were to sit back and watch her at Costco or Walmart or the thrift, anywhere, really, it's amazing. But it's intimidating because it's like, number one, that's not me. Number two, I don't want to do that. Does that make me a bad person? No. So we're all unique. We're not robots. We all do things differently. Some sow, some water, but God brings the increase. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. No one comes to the Father except through the Son, and no one comes to the Son unless they're drawn by the Father. So our question should be, Daddy God, who do you want to draw to you today? Oh, and how can I help? We're the drawing piece that God wants to use to draw people to Jesus. We need to ask Holy Spirit how he wants to use us to touch people today. Ask him to put us in touch with someone. And okay, so, and Rory touched on this a little bit in week one. Put me in touch with someone today, God. Holy Spirit, lead me to someone. And I've always thought, up until maybe a month ago, I've always believed that evangelism was, gosh, I don't know enough scripture to tell someone about Jesus. I don't know enough. Anybody else? But then God showed me, hey, can you give somebody a hug? Can you listen to somebody when they have a problem? Can you love somebody? That's evangelizing, all evangelizing. So we can ask Holy Spirit, give me a word for someone. Whether it be a word of knowledge, a prophetic word. Where we live, you don't have to look very hard to see somebody hurting. I was listening to Todd White the other night, and he was talking about, his favorite thing to do is just to go out. Doesn't matter where it is, a restaurant, a coffee shop. It doesn't matter because he can always see somebody. He can always find someone who's hurting, a waitress. He said his favorite evangelical opening line is, "Hey," like literally, like "Hey," like he'll stop right in front of somebody, and I've seen it on video, and he'll basically just simply say, "Do you know that God loves you today? He just wants you to know that." And he says 9 times out of 10, it's a waitress, and the waitress will say, "You don't know how bad I needed to hear that today. You have no idea what's going on in my life." And that's the door that he's Todd White. He just kicks that door open and goes from there. But just simply telling someone that God loves them might be all he wants you to do today. How many of you know what your evangelical strength is? Besides Terry. Does everybody know what their strength is, the talent or the gift that God has given them that they know without a shadow of a doubt God gave them to use for him? No one? Chris? Thanks, buddy. God oftentimes will use our how many of you know what your weaknesses are? I know when I watch Terry evangelize, my weakness is trying to be like her. I can't do that. That's not me. But how many of you know that God will use our weaknesses oftentimes instead of our strengths? Who's ever told God, "I'm not qualified"? Who's ever told God, "That's not my gifting, Lord"? I'd love to help you, but that's not my gifting. Look what God did with Paul. Look at the stories in the Bible. I mean, Moses. So many different times, God used the unqualified, so to speak. And the reason he does that, he wants us and them to know that it's him, not us or them. Even Terry, as awesome as she is at what she does, it's not Terry, it's Holy Spirit. So we always need to be asking Holy Spirit, "What's my role here in this situation?" I asked Lynn Taylor a lot of questions when we were together. But one of the things that she said that stuck with me, pray for 3 people, whether they be friends, family, coworkers, whatever they might be. Pray for 3 and ask God which, if not all of those 3, you're to witness, share with, evangelize to. Ask God to give you a word. And I don't have any success story there yet, but I'm working on that. But maybe I will next week or a couple weeks, and I'll let you know. But pray for 3 people. Pray for whoever's in your circle. Raise your hand if you have a friend, coworker, or acquaintance who doesn't know the Lord. Okay, so there's no excuse. 3, ask God. Okay, let's not overachieve. Ask God to give you 1. If 3 is too many. I'm going for 3 because I might want to back out on 1. But that's between me and God. So just briefly touched on God using the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. How many of you think you're not worthy? It's a good time to raise your hand. We're not worthy in our own eyes, but God uses us so that we'll know it's him. We need to take our eyes off of the smallness of us and focus on the greatness of Him. In Romans 8, God says, "Walk not after the flesh, but in the Spirit." If we truly walk in the Spirit, it wouldn't hurt our flesh or be an inconvenience to us to evangelize. Is there anyone else besides me who has ever not shared the Lord with someone because it was inconvenient? I mean, I want to, but I don't really want to. If we're walking in the Spirit, it would be a desire and a priority to share Jesus with the world. And I'm not saying that to make it like a guilt trip. God's not trying to guilt us in to evangelizing. But let me give you an example. For me, okay, so at work, I drive a truck. So we often talk on the radios to each other, and we're talking a lot of nonsense. But oftentimes we're talking, you know, hey, there's construction traffic at mile marker such and such. We're letting people know what's ahead so that they can be prepared and aware of what they're coming into. And God kind of woke me up this week and said, "Are you doing the same for me?" And I said, "No. But I'm going to start training." I'm not a social media or anywhere near a tech-savvy person. I know a lot of you people are. However, I see people all the time letting people know what's going on in their lives. Sometimes way too much information for me. But social media is a great way to encourage people with the love of God. There's so much tearing people down on social media. How about let's start a new trend? Just with our little, well, my little friend group. I'm sure you guys have millions of followers and friends. Don't get me going. Anyway, I really feel like God's been showing me. The message that I really have today is that Terry, she doesn't wake up and go, I think I'm going to evangelize today. She just does. It's a way of life. And really, I was thinking about it. We were talking yesterday. My brother-in-law and future sister-in-law, they're getting married here in a week or so. And so we're kind of going over some of the things yesterday. And he's really excited right now about, do you guys know what a razor is? It's like a big quad or a really cool doom buggy. Really, they're awesome. But he's really into them right now. He's really into it right now. He doesn't know Dave. Anyway, he's really excited about this thing. And so he's telling everybody with great excitement how awesome this thing is. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, and I've never even ridden one, but I'm like, it was contagious. I was like, I want to go. Let's go. That sounds awesome. And I really feel like God was nudging me, like, when there's something we're excited about, it's contagious. You know, I'm really bummed I didn't make the beach yesterday. That's like one of my favorite things to do, but I'll get there soon. But just talking and anticipating excitement about something that you love makes other people want to to be a part of it. And I think God, and again, if this isn't for you, I'm not trying to be offensive. This is what God's been showing me. I've been quite content with my little church club. I love coming and getting exhorted, encouraged with my church friends, with my church family. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm out doing anything gross, sinning or anything like that, but God wants me to, like Terry, be the same wherever I go, whatever I'm doing. With a sense of urgency. When I first got saved, man, I couldn't wait to tell people. I'm at the grocery store. I'm running. I got to tell everybody about Jesus. And somehow, there's got to be a happy medium. You know what I mean? There's got to be more than what I'm doing. That's what God's put on my heart. I don't know about you guys, but I haven't denied him. I haven't really said no to him when he's asked me to evangelize. I've just pretended like it wasn't him asking. But I really feel like ultimately the message that he's been giving me that we're trying to share as a body is, and Terry referenced this last week, take the cover off of the lamp. I've always said, if somebody asks me about the Lord, I'll be the best evangelist in the world. I just don't want to invade somebody else's space, time, privacy. And that's just a lie from the pit of hell. So I'm kind of done. I mean, I've got Carl, can you pull that song up? I've got a song that's really been speaking to my heart for the last few weeks. The guy that sings this song is phenomenal. He's a kid that was on American Idol, and I don't remember if he actually won that year or not, but he's a Christian. He was a Christian then. He stood up for the Lord. I mean, he in front of millions of people on American Idol, which seems overwhelming. So, but when you might know the song, you might not, but look at the words, sing it, talk to God during this song. When he wrote the song and when he sings it, he's obviously up on a stage in front of millions of people singing. And so he's talking about his song, what he's doing. However, the words, if you can personalize the words, and just maybe ask yourself or ask the Lord, what is your song? What song has God given you? What is your voice for the people around you? So we're going to play this song. And like I said, just sing along. Look at the words. Talk to God. And then we'll have some time for prayer. Okay? Carl?
Take away the melodies. Take away the songs I sing. Take away all the lies and all the songs you let me write. Does the man I am today say the words you need to say? Let them see you. Another smile, another face, another breath, a grain of sand passing quickly through your hand. I give my life for love for it. Take it all, take everything. Let them see.
God, we just ask you today that people would see you in us, that they would hear you when we speak, that we would just simply be like you and represent you wherever we go, to whoever we come in contact with.